I traveled to Charleston, South Carolina this week for work, and that involved a couple of very long days traveling halfway across the country and back. And for those of you who have flown, you know that at the beginning of a flight, the attendants perform a choreographed teaching session with the passengers in which they instruct people how to respond in case there is an emergency on the flight. You know how it goes. The masks drop. The exit doors are identified. They tell you to put your mask on first before putting on anybody else's mask. And, you know, generally these are safety precautions that we have to take in the event of an emergency. Now, all of this is very useful information, telling us exactly what to do if the plane suffers a problem while we're in flight. It's largely ignored, actually. Most of the time when that kind of event occurs, when the attendants are explaining what to do, a lot of people are reading or, you know, finishing up their last text message before they take off. But this time I was making note of the things that they were saying just to make sure that I was paying attention and I understood. I was just kind of curious. In fact, I was reading some article a week or so ago, and it was about, you know, the top 10 things that flight attendants would tell you if they could. And pay attention was one of them. So with that in mind, I was reflecting on the concept of what it takes to be safe. And in light of our Christian life, it's important to have an answer to the question of how we can find true and effective safety in our lives. I'd like to begin in Psalm 4 and look at verse 8 to open things up. Psalm 4 and verse 8 states this: I will both lie down in peace and sleep, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. This is a very important scripture as we open up. There's a lot that's implied here. It's clear that we are protected by God. If we want to find safety, we have to look to God. But what is also implied here is that God alone is where we find safety, not in any type of action that we can take on our own without God. We of ourselves cannot protect ourselves, not in any real and true lasting way. Certainly the will of God is to protect us and keep us from harm. And if we try to make plans that are against the will of God, we are doomed to failure. We will wind up not finding safety. Any and all safety that we have or seek must begin by seeking the will of God. God alone offers us safety. It's very important to note. Turn with me to Matthew 10, and I'd like to read verses 16 through 23. Matthew 10 and verse 16. We all face danger. We all face, as Christians, persecution, and that's what this scripture is about. Matthew 10:16. Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to councils and scourge you in their synagogues. You will be brought before governors and kings for my sake, as a testimony to them and to the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, do not worry about how or what you should speak, for it will be given to you in that hour what you should speak. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaks in you. Now, brother will deliver up brother to death, and a father his child, and children will rise up against parents and cause them to be put to death. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but he who endures to the end will be saved. When they persecute you in this city, flee to another. For assuredly I say to you, you will not have gone through the cities of Israel before the Son of Man comes. I think it's clear reading this set of scriptures that part of the job of being a Christian involves danger, very grave danger. And in this case, these persecutions are, you know, threats against these men's lives. It's threats against our lives. We may face harm in some way, manner, or form if we are willing to truly stand up for the name of Jesus Christ and God the Father. However, as we know, we are looking to God for safety, and Him alone, in Him alone, is where we find it. But Jesus Christ offers a very important instruction here. In the face of danger and persecution, what did He tell His disciples to do? Flee. Go to another city. The point in bringing this up is that we have a responsibility to not put ourselves in harm's way if we know we can avoid it without denying the name of Jesus Christ. If we know we cannot, if we know that we can avoid danger, putting ourselves in the way of physical harm without sinning, it's our responsibility to do it. We too do have a responsibility to keep ourselves safe. Certainly, the only way that we can find true safety is through God. But we have a role in that too. We have to do something. We can't just sit around and wait for a miracle to happen if there's some way that we can put ourselves out of harm's way. And in fact, Jesus Christ did exactly this. If you recall, when Satan had brought him up to the pinnacle of the temple, Satan said, "Jesus, you'll be protected by the angels if you throw yourself off the pinnacle of this temple. Go ahead and do it. Prove your faith." But Jesus Christ did not do that. He did not put himself at risk of harm, even though he knew that he would be protected. It was his due diligence which caused him to make a decision not to do that. Likewise, there were situations where Jews had sought to seize him, but he escaped out of their hand. He didn't wait for them to seize him and persecute him. He ran away. That's from John 10:39. However, when the time was right, he knew that he had to stand up for the truth as he was persecuted at the end of his life, and he allowed himself to be seized. So there's a time to avoid harm, but there is also a time when we must face persecution because we may be put in that opportunity to testify our faith in God. So there's some very careful discernment that we have to make. But the point is, if we can avoid harm without sinning, it's our responsibility to do it. So if we want to follow the instruction of the Bible in order to be safe and in the conduct of our lives, we need to do those two things. First, acknowledge that any safety that we have is from God. And second, we need to do our due diligence to make sure that we aren't exposing ourselves to harm that we could avoid without sinning. So, the real question that brought me to this topic had to do with reflection of current events, frankly. We know that this world is in a state of rapid decline. We know that the end of this age will come as a thief in the night. There's imminent danger, real persecution upon Christians that is about to occur in this world. And I don't know about you, but I'm asking questions about what can I do to prepare for this? What can I do now while I have the means to, take action in the freedom that I enjoy to be safe in the future? When we face the certain future of doom that the Bible prophesies, what kinds of plans and what preparations are we supposed to make in order to be safe? That is a big question that we should all be asking. We understand prophecy. We can do something now. What is it that we should be doing? Let me start by turning over to Acts 5 and read verses 38 through 39, just to set the stage a little bit. Acts 5, verse 38. "And now I say to you, keep away from these men and let them alone. For if this plan or this work is of men, it will come to nothing. But if it is of God, you cannot overthrow it, lest you even be found to fight against God." Now this certain proclamation was about an event. I suppose there were some people who were trying to do some religious work. But in the context, we can apply what is said here in a general way. If we make plans of ourselves without seeking the will of God, what is going to happen with those plans? Nothing. We have to make plans in accordance with the will of God. Whatever plans we make, certain proclamation. Deja vu. Maybe a little. Okay, anyway, just hearing a little bit of feedback here. So now, of course, this scripture is about comparing the will of God with our will. It's clear that whatever plans we need to make need to be in accordance with the will of God. So what types of plans does the Bible instruct us to make? What can we do as we face the certain future that is about to come? Well, the Bible tells us two things for sure that we can do. The Bible tells us to pray that we may escape the tribulation. That's something that's definitely within our control. That's from Luke 21:36. The Bible also tells us to prepare enough oil for ourselves. The Holy Spirit must work within our lives if we are to prepare for the end of the age. That's the a reference to the scriptures about the 10 virgins from Matthew 25. However, these clear instructions from the Bible about what we can do to pray, to have fruit of the Spirit, the Bible tells us these things, and they are largely ignored by the world today, just like the instructions from the flight attendants that are who are standing right in front of us on an airplane. The Bible does not tell us to stock up on weapons and ammunition. These are the plans of man, and there are many other plans of man that do not seek the will of God. What plans are you and I making as we face the uncertain circumstances that we are instructed or told about in the Bible? It's a question that we should all be seeking to answer. Turn over to John 12 and verse 25 with me. John 12, in verse 25, gives us a scripture that should set our frame of mind. "He who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life." If we are looking for a way to test our efforts, we should begin by analyzing exactly what we are trying to keep safe. Are we trying to save our skin in the plans that we make? Is that the exclusive end game that we're looking for? Certainly, we should, as we read about before, we should find ways to keep our lives, our physical lives, safe. We're not to seek death. But that's not the end game. What we should really be focused on in our life as we try to figure out what to keep safe is our eternal life. That is what we need to keep safe. Safety that we are seeking must be concerned with the eternal future looking forward. That's where we need to keep focused. Turn over to Hebrews 13, and we'll read verses 5 through 6. Hebrews 13, verse 5. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? We can be confident that if we seek God's will in thought and deed, we have nothing to fear. We will be safe. Any harm that may come from man in this physical life, if we are unsuccessful in keeping ourselves physically safe, that's temporary. But our eternal life will be preserved. We all face a certain future with the wrath of God unfurling on this earth in the future to come, leading to the return of Jesus Christ. But the specific circumstances that we will personally face, those dangerous circumstances that we might fear, they are uncertain. We don't know what we'll have to handle. We cannot predict what kind of personal difficulties we will face. Fortunately, even though we cannot calculate the risks and predict the problems that we'll have to face, the Bible gives us some clear instructions teaching us exactly how to prepare for that fearful time. First, we look to God for safety, not relying on the so-called wisdom of man. Second, we exercise our due diligence to not put ourselves at risk. And finally, we make sure that we prioritize our actions to save our eternal life, not our physical one. We work on the things that we can control, and we don't worry about the things that we cannot. We pray. We develop the fruit of the Spirit. And above all, we have faith.